This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So he sees the Porsche and the Ferrari, even if the Hummer might be more expensive than the Porsche or something, or anything, but still, I'm like, it's pretty ugly for him. So the youngest one sees the car, the Hummer, and he knows what they have what's gone before. So he doesn't want the Hummer. So he's crying. And so I'm knocking. So right when he starts to cry, the other two, they go straight to the roof. They know what's coming up, right? They know what's coming up. They take their car, their hot wheels, and they go to the rooms and they lock the door. Immediately, they lock the door. That's it. They unlock the doors, and they're in there. You know, the doors are locked, and now the youngest one is crying. And I'm trying to calm. It's like, you know, it's okay. You play with it. Your brother, a few minutes to look at that. He goes, no, I want this. I want that. He says, I want a red Ferrari. And I go and knock on the door, my eldest son. And he's like, nobody's home! He knows what's going on because he hears his brother crying. I said, would you just, you know, trade in, just give your brother, just for 15 minutes? He goes, but I got it first. But I got the Ferrari first. And so this is, of course, this one, like, 7, 6, 7, 5, and so forth. And so, the little one is crying. And everybody wants this. You know, wants that the portrait of the bride. The little one's crying. And I'm looking at him. I said, don't worry about it. Just, you know, and it is your brother. They're going to give all three of you. You can play for all three. And I told him, it's 15 minutes, okay. But then he's crying. But the way he's crying is like, it's as if it's the end of the world. When his grandfather passed away, he didn't cry like that. You know? But now it's like, to him, he's crying as if it's the end of the world. So I'm looking at him. I'm thinking, you know, it's only the hot wheel. Right? It's only the hot wheel. And so the things that are happening to us right now, maybe we're crying over this or over that. But also, I'm looking down. It's only a hot wheel. Right? Some of the other things, we make it look so big. We magnify it so much. Now, these are just the little tests in this world. When a person's main concern in this world, they end up, all you see them end up is worrying about this, worrying about that, and they never find the peace of mind. Because once you have iman, the more iman you have, the higher your iman is, it's like a plane ride. When the plane is taken off and you're looking down, the higher you go, the smaller everything becomes. The higher you go, the smaller everything becomes. And so all of the other things that pains or that cause about concerns, they don't concern you so much. Because you know the important, you know what's important, what's not important. And you're the greater when you think about the hereafter. When your greater concern, when your main concern is the hereafter, the worldly problems of this life become minute. They become minute. And so, when a person lives in this world, as I mentioned, this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with poverty. Sometimes he tests us with prosperity. And they're both tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we hear in the news our brothers are suffering here, suffering there, at that moment, we're also being tested. They are tested with poverty, with affliction, calamities. And we're testing with our prosperity. But sometimes, the test of poverty is easier than the test of prosperity. Because a person who's in a state of hardship, that person is more likely to return to Allah than one who is in prosperity. But at the same time, that person also is being tested And so Allah is testing us. Every time there's a need, we're in a masjid, for example, a need to help, to give, to donate, you might say, especially in the Ramadan, right? After Taraweeh prayer, there's a fundraiser. Somebody gets up and asks, you know, we need to help brothers and sisters in Somalia. And then next time, well, we need to help brothers and sisters in Bangladesh. Then we have a school. We have to have a school to support. The next day, or next week, it's for the expansion of the masjid. Or this person and that person, this organization and that organization. And then you ask yourself, I only gave twice last week. And then three more people this week have asked, who did I give to? When does it stop? Right? You might ask yourself, when does it stop? And some people might get tired of that. Right? But every single time you're being tested. So who do you give to anyways? By the way, who do you give to? Who do you give to? Let me give you the answer. It's in the Quran. Who do you give to? And who do you give for that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ And from that which we have provided for them, they spend. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of paradise, and one of the descriptions is, أَلَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّخَاءِ Those who spend in times of hardship. So that's your answer. You continue to give, as long as Allah is still giving to you, you still give. As long as you still have money in the bank, you still give, Allah will give you more. As long as you still have money in your pocket, you still give. It never stops, yes? It's a test for you. Just like the other brothers, the test didn't end with them. They didn't end yet. It did not end. And they don't control that either. When it ends and when it starts. So when somebody's asking for help, give, no. It's a test. And every single time you give, no matter how big or small or little that you may have, every single time, do not belittle. لَا تَحْتِرَمَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْءٍ Do not, don't ever belittle the deed. Even if you were to meet your brother tomorrow, but the morning is. Just that. So imagine, every single deed, you could enter Jannah as a result. Because you don't enter Jannah with your deeds. You enter Jannah with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannah is too great. It's too great for you to earn it with your deeds. It's only by the mercy of Allah that we enter Jannah. And that's why every single time you try to earn the mercy of Allah, maybe this is it. This inshallah, this act will earn the mercy of Allah. Because the Prophet informed us of a man in another narration, a woman who was a prostitute. She went into a well to drink, and she was quenched. She came out of the well and she saw that there was a dog that was licking the area around the well. And she said, you know, this dog is just as thirsty as I was before I went into that well. And so she went back to the well, filled up her hoof, her leather socks, and she gave water to the dog. She gave this water to this dog. And as a result, Allah forgave her. Another creation of Allah entered the Jannah. As a result, you know, Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah rahimahullah and Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, they said that not every prostitute that gives water to a dog will enter Jannah. Not every prostitute that gives water to a dog will enter Jannah. What's the difference between this person and everybody else who gives water to a dog? The difference is that it's in the heart. Allah saw that. The kindness and the mercy that's in the person's heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon many of us. So maybe at any time, no matter how little you think that you contribute, when you're contributing, contribute as much as you can, whenever you can, however you can. Every single deed might be that which takes you to God. So don't be little of it. And whenever you are put in position to be at the service of Islam and the Muslims, don't ever look at it as a burden. It's not a burden. It's a great blessing. And that's why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the hijrah, he said, permission has been given. Permission has been given. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, O Messenger of Allah, as-suhbah, as-suhbah, companionship, companionship. He wanted to accompany the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, companionship, as-suhbah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu broke down and cried. And these were tears of happiness. Why was he so happy when this is not a vacation, it's a dangerous trip. People are going to look to kill you. Why? Because being at the service of Islam and Muslims is a great blessing. It's not a burden. And Allah chooses you to be at the service of Islam and Muslims. Be thankful to Allah. Be thankful to Allah because He doesn't allow anything to be at the service of Islam and Muslims. And if you're thankful to Allah, Allah will increase it for you. He will increase your blessings. He will bless the time that you have. Will bless the wealth that you have, will bless you and your family, and then that's when you have to find peace and happiness. Because peace and happiness can only be found in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when a person is wealthy, especially in this world, yes, it's not an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person. The indication that Allah has loves a person is he gives him the understanding of his deen. And when a person understands his deen, that's why the Prophet said, "May you be done with khayr, you faqihu." Whomsoever Allah has goodness to him, it makes him understand his deen. And a person who understands his deen knows what to do, how to do things, but they know what they're concerned about. They know how to prioritize things. That's why in Islam, halal, haram, you, a scholar, doesn't just know halal and haram, but real scholars know which of the two halals take priority, and which of the harams are worse. That's the true understanding of the deen. And so, a lot of times, we think and we say, you know, I don't have time for this and I don't have time for that. I mean, I just don't have time. Right? But the thing is, I want you to think about our society now. Okay? Our society right now, we have so many time-saving gadgets. The only thing we don't have is time. We have our cell phones, refrigerators, microwaves, everything that's supposed to save us time, but the only thing we don't have is time. Why? There's no blessing. But why? Because we don't understand our deen. And you know what? I'm going to give you a hadith. And if you apply it, you're going to save a lot of time and worries. A lot of time. It's a very short hadith. Very simple. But this is part of jawab al-kalim. The preciseness and the conciseness with broad meaning, so with so much wisdom. And that hadith is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "One, I'm going to get actually two hadiths, but if you put them together, they're similar." Okay? He says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Whoever believes in Allah and His Messenger, then let him say good or bad. Save you a lot of worries. And save you a lot of worries. You know, especially because our plans get us always in trouble. And another hadith, more broad than that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Min husni Islam Allah, tarkuhu ma'ayyari hadith." Part of the excellence of a person's Islam is he leaves that which is not concerning. Imagine all the time that we waste. I mean, I want you to look at all the time that we waste on the internet. I mean, for example, this person getting married, that person getting not getting married, this person have a girlfriend, a fake girlfriend, no girlfriend. Like, all kinds of stuff, right? This person, you know, this team winning, that team now. I mean, does that, you might say, okay, but because I lived in Tucson, it might concern me because, you know what, it's all about guys. Right, but does it really concern you if you didn't know whether they want or not? And does that benefit you or harm you in this life? I remember, you know, there was a time when I was cut off from all of this. After I graduated, I went to the villages. I lived in the villages of Cameroon. No electricity. No electricity. The only electricity they had was, they only had batteries that they would charge up in the daytime. And they would use that for lights or watch TV. But you couldn't watch too much to do with TV. Yeah, maximum is an hour and a half and it dies. You gotta wait tomorrow and charge it up unless the guy has to. But you know, no electricity, no running water, you go to the bathroom. And so I'm like really cut off. You know, I live in Seattle, right? Where you have all this news, all sports, everything like that. But you might be thinking about reading about something. And I remember staying there, I had so much time. There was so much love, so much time that I would be able to teach the students in the morning after breakfast for 2 hours. And then we have breakfast. And I look at the clock. We've done so much. And it's only Saturday. Like I have a whole day now. And then I would teach. And then afterward, the afternoon, we have so much time. The thing is, we do have time. But we waste it on things that do not concern us. We waste it on things that don't concern us. Because we don't know what's important and what's not important in our lives. So you end up focusing on things that will not benefit. Information that doesn't benefit. In fact, we have, this is called the information age. The information age. We have a lot of people with a lot of information, but where are the scholars? Where are the people with knowledge? Everybody has a little bit here and there, but you end up actually not learning a lot, believe it or not. Because you always feel that it's always there at the tip of your finger. You end up not memorizing things. You take it for granted. Just one example. Remember in the old days, before the cell phone? I remember, some of you may not, I remember that I used to know the phone number of all my relatives and all of my friends. You ask me a phone number. In fact, those phone numbers, even though they don't work anymore, I still remember them. And then they have, but I still, to this day, like my aunt's phone number, I still remember. But nowadays, somebody asks me, I remember I lost my phone. My phone died, and I needed to call a brother who took off the plane. You know, he thought somebody else was picking me up, and then that brother thought he was picking me up, so I ended up being left behind. And I took, I didn't know the phone. I had to take a taxi, and they were just probably 2 blocks away. But it's like these people were something very close to me, and I still couldn't remember their phone because it's just like. You think it's there, so you don't memorize it. So you think, because you think, okay, if I need anything, I know it's Asher Boo. Right? And you end up not having this knowledge. So a lot of times, our focus, and the thing is, we don't know what's important. So when you focus on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of all the other words. How? Listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ta'ala said. This hadith in the Muslim Imam Ahmad and Sunan al-Tirmidhi and Sunan al-Majah from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, hadith is sahih. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, the father of the Ibadah, to Amna Sadr al-Kamina. He said, Hosanna, devote yourself to my worship, and I will fill your heart, or fill your trophy or your chest with a sense of peacefulness, of relaxation. You feel that you're not needing anything, you're just feeling rich. And there's a difference between, being wealthy and actually feeling what you have. A lot of times we focus on things we don't have. But we have so much blessing, we're so blessed. But we tend to focus on the things we don't have. But if you think about all the things that you have, then you'll be more pleased with you have that by now. And the Prophet said, well, sit the fact, and I will prevent the poverty. I'll plug up the poverty. If you do not do so, if you do not devote yourself to my worship, I will make you busy. Your hands are busy. You start becoming busy. But let me sit down. And at the same time, you will never feel like you're always in need. And that's why if you look at the rich people who are super, super wealthy, extremely wealthy, they get to a point where they realize that money does not make a person happy. They get to a point where they feel when you're giving back, when you're helping others, that's what makes a person happy. And you start to realize it. And that's why when you see that the movie star, the sports star, you'll see a lot of people, they maybe envy these people. But you'll see these are the people that have the most problems. These are the ones who go to rehab and out of rehab. They get married for 2 weeks and divorce already. They have so much problems. And then people, and all of a sudden you hear about this person committing suicide. They're on drugs. They're drinking. It's because they're trying to find happiness. They're trying to find happiness. And trust me, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, If the son of Adam were to be given a bag of gold, he would want to marry God. We always say, inshallah, Allah were to give me this much, inshallah, I would devote myself to work. This is just a trick from the shaitan. You should devote yourself in worship no matter what your condition, what your state is. Because you are the son of Adam. So don't lie to yourself. And if you were to be given a valley of gold, you'd want another one. That's why you see all those rich people. They have a lot of money. And you are thinking, man, if he could just retire and take your expense normal, like a normal person, he would never have to work again. But they still want more. They still want more. And there's nothing that will fill that person's desire except for the dirt. That's the only thing.